Well, it's been a whirlwind of a morning this morning, trying to get everything took care of and all the bases touched. But Children's Church, if you're going out, you're going to stay with us. You're going to stay with us, eh? All right. That's what I want to know. If you got your Bible this morning, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. If I failed to tell you at the end of the service, I'll tell you now. Thank you so much for all your prayers and calls and visits and everything that was done. The surgery went well. I've accepted the valve pretty well, I guess. I don't hear the commode flushing anymore, so I think it must be doing its job and taking care of my need in that. And I appreciate so much all the things. I think it was possible because of your prayers. And don't ever think that we don't appreciate all you do for us in our everyday walk with the Lord. If you got your Bible, Luke chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 38, and then I'm going to share a few thoughts with you as we speak this morning upon the subject, the idea, I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. Verse 38 says, Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Gabriel paid Mary a visit and shared with Mary the plan that God had to bring his son into this world to be the Savior of the world. Long had the Jew looked for the coming of the Messiah. It was a desire of their hearts that he would come and live up to the expectations that they had for him in their hearts and lives. We know that those expectations consisted of them thinking that when he came, he would come and set his kingdom up there in Jerusalem, thereabout, and that they would have an opportunity to be a part of that heavenly host that would be here on earth. Little did they understand that God's plan for man didn't come through royalty, it come through property. And you just think with me for a few minutes about how he brought all this back together again. I think about a little teenage girl that is going about preparing herself for the marriage ceremony that her parents and the parents of the groom have already made plans for. They've already agreed. The gift's been given in exchange for the daughter of the son. And they're waiting for the time of the wedding. And as they wait for this, in the midst of all of this, an angel appears unto her. Can you think what that had to be like in her heart and her life as she was dealing with this? If you back up just a few verses of scripture to verse 26, it said, In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, who was of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Poor, very limited in her means that she had in her heart and her life. Probably didn't have the proper education that some would have had that were in royalty. But she was just a plain young girl, betrothed to be married to her husband. And all of a sudden, an angel the angel Gabriel. Anytime you've seen Gabriel, Old Testament or New in Scripture, he comes with a word from God. He's on a mission to accomplish what God has told him to do. And you think about the things that the angel said to her as he's speaking to her. First thing he said, "Hail," or "Hello, thou art highly favored." Second thing he said, "The Lord is with thee." And the third thing he said, "And blessed art thou among women." That's a load for a young teenage girl that's experiencing all this, wondering what in the world is going on. Scripture says, it gives a little explanation as to how she felt about this. In verse 29, it said, "When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be." Any of us would have been more than troubled. You know, we'd have been scared to death. There's a beautiful angel, Gabriel, bringing a message from the Lord himself, saying, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Not only did the scripture say that she was troubled at his sayings, but she cast in her mind, she pondered, she thought about, "Am I dreaming? Is this real? Am I seeing the right thing?" And she asked herself, "What manner of salutation is this? Who is this to say, 'Hail, thou that art highly favored'? Who is this to say that the Lord is with thee? Who is this to say, 'Blessed art thou among women'?" Verse 30 says, "The angel said unto her, 'Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God.'" What does that verse say to you? Have you ever thought about it? "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Out of all the young girls in all the land around Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem, and all those provinces around there, she was the one that was chosen. I'd say she is more than highly favored, wouldn't you? Amen. She is having an honor bestowed upon her that is second to none in all the land round about her. Yes, probably even as a teenager, she had heard her parents, her grandparents, or a conversation among other folks about the coming of the Messiah and how that all the world was waiting to see the approach of this Messiah and her heart and her life and the thing that was happening. Now, that was enough to load the young lady's wagon, wouldn't you think? Just to experience Gabriel and the announcement that he made and the news that he gave her. But he really puts it on her here in verse 31 when the scripture says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Jesus, the Lord, saves. And the thing that he's doing here is he's telling her. That's enough for her to know that she's been chosen for a mission from God. But he's thinking in her heart and her life, I think here, that there's no way. It's impossible. I've never lied with a man. I'm a virgin. How can it be in my heart that I could conceive and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus? And then Gabriel described what he was going to be like. "He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, aren't you glad that that kingdom's still going today? You and I, we celebrate this Christmas season. But I wonder if we stop and ponder in our hearts and our minds what all transpired in order for us to be to the place where we are today in this Christmas season. We consume ourselves a lot with giving and receiving of gifts, family time together where we gather and have great meals together, and do all sorts of things in celebration of the Christmas season. But here, I wonder how many of us stop to do what the angel Gabriel did. What did he tell Mary? You're going to have a son, you're going to name him Jesus, and he's going to be the Savior of the world. He's going to be great. He's going to be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father, David. Coming of the bloodline of the lineage of David, all the way through to the death of the cross. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. I don't know if you noticed or not, but I have, and it disturbs me greatly. The movement that's on in our country today to stamp out Christianity, to stop the cause of Christ. You know, just like in the day of Esther when I spoke yesterday at Miss Domecq's funeral. They're trying to annihilate the Jews and wipe them out, and we've seen many opportunities where they tried it over and over since then. But you know, in our lives, I wonder if you and I ever just stopped and realized what a privilege we have to be called the sons of God, the daughters of God, that he loved us enough that he was willing to die for our sins on that cross. And he's still on the throne. I have people tell me all the time, you know, oh, Brother Larry, I've heard that all my life, you know. People is, people that, you know, if he's coming, why ain't he done come? You know, what are we waiting on? You know, let's do it, you know. Kind of belittle or make fun in her heart and her life. Questions, yes. Answers, one day. We may not comprehend it all here, may not can absorb it all, but there's coming a day that he'll explain it to us. Look what verse 34 saith. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She's absorbed everything he said. One thing stuck out in her mind more than anything else, and that for her to conceive and bring forth a son and name him Jesus. How can that be? You know, a lot of times I know I question God, and I'm sure probably many of you do. Lord, are you sure? Is this what we're going to do? Is this how we're going to do it? Is this why we're going to do it? You know, and I'm pretty hard-headed, and sometimes the Lord has to get pretty rough with me and show me that he's speaking to me about what he wants me to do, like he speaks with you about what he wants you to do. And the one thing he wants more than anything else is for you to know him as Lord and Savior of your heart and life, and trust him to be that Savior. The angel answered her when she asked, how can this be? And he said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born to thee shall be called the Son of God. Man, go back to the beginning. Let's just suppose for a moment, okay? And then that, as we're supposing, She got up that morning like any other morning. She probably made her bed, you know. She went in to fix her coffee or start her breakfast, her day's chores or duties or responsibilities or go to work or whatever her day consisted of in her heart. And all of a sudden, her world gets turned upside down. Sometimes you and I go through experiences like that. You know, they're usually not good experiences. You know, phone will ring, and we find our worlds turned upside down because of something that's going on in our lives. But here she is, and the scripture says that this holy thing that she's conceived in her womb, it's going to be called the Son of God. That's a lot to absorb it. A lot to take in the middle of this. God knew that she knew she needed some assurance. So he allows Gabriel to tell Mary about her cousin, Elizabeth, and Zacharias, and how that in their old age, she conceived and she was 6 months pregnant with John. Oh, Mary, just like me and you, we'd be honest. Just as soon as she saw Gabriel leave, what'd she do? She packed her a bag and here she went. Where was she going? Up in the hill country. To who? To Elizabeth's house. For what? She needed confirmation that what the angel had told her was true. The only thing that she could find, she didn't know if she was pregnant. He said she would conceive. She didn't know all these other things that he told her, you know. But she knew Elizabeth. And if Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, it'd be showing. And she took off. And she headed to Mary's house. And the scripture says that, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath conceived a son in her old age. This is her 6 month with her, who was called barren. And I like this statement, this verse of scripture. Verse 37 says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen? God, nothing shall be impossible. And that caused Mary to come to the conclusion of verse 38 when she said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Man, talk about faith. Talk about obedience. Talk about trust. Mary demonstrated it all, didn't she? What'd she say? Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Here I am, Lord. Use me. That's what Mary was saying. Take me. If I am to be the mother of your son, so be it. And in her obedience, the Lord allowed Gabriel to leave her and for her to go into the hill country to confirm all this in her heart and life, the things that she was doing concerning that. I wonder today, how much longer are we going to sit back and continue to just let things slide the way they're going? You know, sooner or later we got to take a stand for our land and what God has blessed us with in our hearts and our lives. Yesterday, Brother Curtis and I was eating at the table together, and an individual came by, and Brother Curtis asked me, said, you know that fella? I said, no, I don't. But he came on over to the table there, and Brother Curtis heard his name, and he said, you used to lead the singing at Parkway, I believe is where you said, down in Jackson County down there. And they struck up a conversation and stuff. And as he was sharing with that, he told me, he said, if I wasn't a saved man, he said, I'd have been saved again. He said, from your mess, all I want to do is tell them about Jesus. That's what Miss Domack wanted. And that's what I want for all. My present to you is to give to you the good news of Jesus Christ. To let you know how much I love and appreciate every one of you. But God gave you the greatest gift that can ever be given. He gave his son to die for us on that cross. Would you bow with me? Brother Ernie's going to come and he'll lead us in a verse of invitation in just a moment. The greatest gift could ever be given to you is the gift of salvation. And it's ready available for you, wrapped up in the package of the blood of Jesus. If you just claim it this morning. Maybe you're here and you never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you have, but you've never followed up and went through the steps he desired you to do. First, to make public that profession of your faith. And Jesus is your Savior. Follow him in New Testament baptism. Establish yourself with his church. And start doing his will for your life. Whatever that might be. It might surprise you what you're capable of. But what did that verse say? With God, nothing is impossible. Lord, stir our hearts this morning. Know our thoughts. There's a need here this morning. These altars are open. Maybe some just needs to come and kneel and pray and just thank God for your salvation in this Christmas season. And his giving his son Jesus to die for. I don't know what he may be saying to you this morning, but I know this. He loved you enough to die for you. Will you die to yourself and let him be the Lord of your life? Jesus, stir our hearts now is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Ernie, what are we going to sing? Let's stand together, Silent Night. To conclusion of Silent Night, men, you come and take our offering for us. Brother Ernie. Silent.